This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:47 right now. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Melissa Idris with Ibrahim Sani and Julian Ng. Malaysia Airlines Berhad expects to deliver profitable growth by 2018. They say they want to do this by controlling costs, competitive airfares and maximising load factors. So we have on the line now the CEO of MAB, Peter Bellew. Peter, how much of the staff sacking had contributed to MAB's bottom line? And going forward, will you be able to sustain earnings growth by selling more tickets in what we know is a challenging economic environment?
Good morning, Melissa. Well, the quarter just passed, and I think over the next 18 months, it's going to be all about generating revenue. People are reacting very well to our advertising campaigns, showing fully inclusive fares with no hidden extras and some great value. So that's helping a lot. What's going to have an impact for the next year, and we're seeing it right now, is the reduction in the passenger service charge at the airports. We're grateful for Minister Lau and MAVCOM for adjusting that. We are already seeing 400% increase in our group's booking inquiries for next year from the ASEAN region. And I think there's going to be an awful lot of extra tourists coming into the country based around the lower fares.
Peter, this is Julian. Of course, this is a very challenging economic environment and you want to be able to price correctly. But how do you think the new OPEC deal will affect your pricing strategy?
I think the oil price goes up or goes down. I'm following this for over 30 years. I expect oil prices, and we had factored that in, to go up to probably above 70 by the end of next year. They may even go a bit higher. As a proportion of our overall costs, it would be lower than, let's say, would be for all our main competitors who are in the lower cost sector. So we factored it into our plans, and I don't think it's going to have an impact on our overall plan.
Peter, this is Ibrahim. Malaysian Aviation Group has two consumer airlines already. Can you provide more details on why the need to create a third new airline for the Umrah and Hajj markets?
The particular asset we have, I think the A380, it suits that market brilliantly. We have six aircraft. That's a drop in the ocean of the number of people who travel globally. So a lot of this business that this airline does won't be from Malaysia. I would say 1.5 of the aircraft will work out of Malaysia and the rest will operate from North Africa, from Pakistan, Bangladesh and from the UK. So we can operate all over the world. We have the license to do that. And that's the beauty of the operation. I think it's going to be quite successful. I think six aircraft may not even be enough in 5 or 6 years.
Peter, so MAB expects to deliver profitable growth in 2018. Does that mean we will be seeing an IPO sometime soon?
We're planning at the moment. The target's March 2019. The only headwinds we see is the dollar exchange rate against the ringgit, which is challenging at the moment, and possibly some fairly irrational competition. The Indonesian company Lion Air is talking about expanding, maybe adding 20, 30 aircraft in the second half of next year. So there are some difficulties to get over, but we're focusing on March 19th and IPO.
Well, thanks for talking to us this morning. That was the Group CEO of Malaysia Aviation Group Berhad, Peter Bellew. Well, let's move on to other news now. Also, Bank Negara had yesterday issued a press release on the monetary and financial developments for the month of October. I guess a couple of things here. Price conditions. It turns out the headline inflation moderated slightly to 1.4% in October. This was mainly due to lower food inflation during the month. Also, we had some monetary conditions that were announced. The interbank rates for all tenures were relatively stable for the month.
And loan growth actually remained at around 6.5% as well. I think it's important to monitor where inflation is going because of the weak ringgit. As we know yesterday, because of the yuan, the ringgit has hit fresh lows and also not affected by the benefits that we're seeing in oil as well. So we hope that the strength in oil prices will give some confidence coming in back to the ringgit as well. But longer term, we want to see whether the extremely weak ringgit levels will affect our inflation. And this is something to be monitored, because 1.5% is really very acceptable, is very low. But of course, the CPI, whether it represents our personal inflation or not, whether you know, it's an index that is representative of our spending, that's another question.
And to underline the fact that the government is trying to ensure confidence, there was some statement coming in from the second finance minister, Dato' Johari Ghani. He has disputed the assertion by some press houses that the ringgit's decline was due to excessive capital outflows from the country. The second finance minister pointed out that the Bank Negara's latest international reserve actually saw a slight bump. And, quote, he says that whilst the ringgit has indeed depreciated in recent period due to partly speculative activities in the offshore market, this has not led to a material decline in the Malaysian Forex reserves.
I don't know how relevant it is to look at the reserves all the time because it's going to go up and it's going to go down. And largely, it has gone down quite substantially. So this is a very short-term time window. But we had a very interesting discussion on the S&M show yesterday with Noor Hisham Hussein, who's the head of the Economics and Equity Department, Capital Markets Department in the EPF. So he should know what he's talking about.
He definitely knows.
And, you know, he says that in countries like, for example, Australia, they have got hardly any reserves, right? They have got reserves
about
the,
a month or
to the tune
right?
of 1 month of their imports. And Malaysia has 8 months to our imports. And he's saying that this is because they have outsourced the idea of a currency management to their bank. So that is a very interesting proposition to look at. And in fact, it's a free-for-all over there in Australia, and it makes the work of the central bank a lot more interesting and a lot easier.
Wow, I guess that's interesting, but it's also a kind of perception, right? You have to educate your people not to be fixated on this figure, on how many months of imports that you have.
But as it is now, I think that the reserves number is important and is something that relevant to look at, but over the long term. Mm. And the question is where it will go in the next year or so.
Well, just now you mentioned about our personal inflation rate, and you know, it just got me thinking about the things that we look at when it comes to measuring inflation and whether currencies are actually valued correctly. In fact, one of the more lighthearted indexes is often quoted the Big Mac Index.
That's right.
And you should know that Jim Delligatti was the man who created the Big Mac. He has just passed away at the age of 98.
Now, the thing that stood out most for me for this news was that this is a guy who created Big Mac, and he died at the ripe old age of 98.
But you don't know if he was eating Big Macs his whole life.
We don't know that.
You don't know.
If he created it, he should eat it, right? But the other thing was that also in that news article by the Wall Street Journal, it was stated that when the Big Mac was introduced in 1968, the price of that was 45 cents in 1968. And in the US today, the price of a Big Mac is about $5. You can trace the inflation rate, and the inflation rate of that Big Mac, represented by that Big Mac, is 5% per annum. So it's actually quite a high, quite an accelerated rate of inflation.
Oh, that's interesting, 5%. Okay, well, let's take a look at some of the news. It's now 7:55. An investigation has started by the SC into the investment bank responsible for releasing a research report on Vivocom International Holdings that came out a day before the company actually released its quarterly report. Now, this was dated November 28th, while Vivocom released its earnings to Bursa on November 29th. I think there are currently three research houses covering Vivocom.
That's right. CIMB Research, MIDF, and Mercury are some of the houses that are being investigated by the Securities Commission. And in contention and in the focus of a lot of bloggers, financial bloggers around town, is the coincidental numbers that were released in the research report before the actual announcement of the results were made. And some of these announcements were, for example, the revenue breakdown.
Yeah, so the revenue breakdown accurately estimated between Vivocom's three different sectors. This was announced to Bursa, but an analyst found it earlier. The report also stated that construction contributed 62% to the third quarter revenue. And this also was shown in the analyst report ahead of the Bursa announcement. So as you can see, it's very difficult for you to just craft these numbers, pick it out of thin air. You must have received the numbers ahead of time, ahead of Bursa.
Yeah, it reflected extreme accuracy, which is a little bit too coincidental for SC's comfort, I think. And also the cash position. The cash is apparently something that is very hard to forecast, and the analyst also forecasted that pretty correctly.
So based on newspaper reports this morning, the analyst has been relieved of his duties. The question now is, to what extent will the investigation take place? Will this lead to a greater scrutiny of corporate governance?
Well, to what extent is this rampant within the industry? is the question, right? Is this, you know, is this a one case scenario, or is this an open secret that perhaps has not been, been fully discussed?
Yeah, I think it's very porous, the relationship between analysts and corporate sector. The question is whether they can produce independent research report that are beneficial to their clients rather than to their ability to get deals for the investment banking, right? So we already see that CIMB had some procedural issues with that millions of dollars that was banked into Nazir Razak's account, and the committee at the time within CIMB found that the procedural requirements were lacking at the time. I think we're just touching the tip of the iceberg here with something as simple as an analyst report. I think banks should take note of this, and we know that price rigging, price manipulation, insider trading are all illegal activities on the stock market, so they should be more sensitive and more cognizant about these activities.
Okay, it's coming up to the 8 o'clock news bulletin. After that, we've got the Breakfast Grill. Sharad Kutan will be speaking to Bala Pomale, the CEO of IPG Media Brands Malaysia, as he shares his insights into the advertising industry. So stay tuned for that on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.